Welcome to the Capital News. Today is July 18th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. What did you see the markets today, folks? Did you see the whipsaw that took place? Do you understand why? You understand what happened? You understand who moved the markets? You understand that we have a handful of people that are moving the markets, not just the stock market, but the bond market, the commodities market, the currency markets. These are trillion-dollar markets that are being moved, and not just a little bit. You have whipsaws because you have a handful of idiots that parade out there in front of a camera, or they make a speech, and the market just has to listen to every single word that these people say, and they move. We're in a lot of trouble. This is not how markets are supposed to operate. This is damn near absolute power and absolute control. Now, they want to try to get away with this in China or Russia or some socialist or communist country. You say, okay, well, that's par for the course. That's how they operate. That's not how it's supposed to be in the United States of America. That's not how it's supposed to be in Europe. It's not how it's supposed to be in Canada or Australia or many, many other countries around the world. It's not supposed to happen. It's not how this is supposed to operate. I shouldn't be surprised or amazed anymore, but this is just one after the other. And of course, today I'm talking about the president of the New York Federal Reserve, John Williams, because he gave a speech earlier today, and we're going to get to that shortly. But the markets were mainly trading down, and not by a lot either. Not by a lot today. I mean, the Dow was down about 100 points, but that's nothing big. That's nothing to write home about. Especially once it's, you know, just off of its all-time high. So that's nothing dangerous. But nevertheless, it rallied back. So we had the S&P closed up 11 points after being down for most of the day. The Dow ended up gaining 3 points for the day. The NASDAQ gained 22. And the Russell 2000, the small cap index, gained back 5 points. The Dow Jones Transports, we talked about this extensively yesterday. Well, yesterday it lost 3.6%. It gained back 130 points, representing a 1.25% gain. So it got back some of its losses yesterday. The New York Stock Exchange also gained 0.4%. Now, while earlier in the trading session, oil did trade lower, right now it's pretty much flat from where it was yesterday during yesterday's podcast. We have WTI trading at $56.15 a barrel, and the international benchmark Brent crude is trading at $63 a barrel. Gold caught another little bid today, now trades at $1,444 an ounce. Silver caught another nice bid today and is now trading at $16.47 an ounce. The U.S. 10-year Treasury lost 1.25%, now yielding 2.038%. And the VIX, the Volatility Index, shed 3 percentage points, now sitting at $13.53. All of this whipsawed, ladies and gentlemen, because the idiot from the New York Federal Reserve gave a speech. And now, mind you, as I'm doing this, I wanted to follow up on this with some articles here. And now the Federal Reserve is correcting what they said because it was a dovish tone, obviously, because the markets were selling off, the dollar was strengthening. This idiot comes out, makes his comments, and everybody interprets it as, oh, the Fed's dovish. Like we didn't know this. Who didn't know this? Who wasn't paying attention to Jerome Powell? Who wasn't paying attention to all of these other idiots who come out and give speeches on a near daily basis saying the same thing? Whether it's a speech, a conference. I mean, who's not paying attention? The markets are very much paying attention to every word that every one of these people are saying. And it's not just our central bankers. They're listening to Christine Lagarde, the former, very recently former managing director of the IMF, because now she's ready to take over as the president of the European Central Bank. So get ready for lower negative interest rates and get ready for European quantitative easing. Because who knows how many institutions they're going to have to bail out. Because we have not heard or seen the last of Deutsche Bank. Not even close. Not to mention many other banks that are on the brink in Italy, in Spain, in France, and maybe even in the UK, depending on what happens with Brexit. Oh yeah, don't forget, I didn't forget about Brexit. And don't forget either that Brexit is supposed to take place. Deal or no deal, Howie Mandel, on Halloween, October 31st, which coincidentally is when Mario Draghi, the current president of the ECB, steps down and Christine Lagarde takes over. But in the meantime, we're still anticipating that there are going to be lower interest rates from the ECB, if not an outright pouring of liquidity through their version of quantitative easing beforehand, because they're going to want to be preemptive of Brexit, because everybody just wants to kick the can down the road. So they want to cushion as much as possible. There's nothing to cushion. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all a power grab. So we have a correction from the New York Fed, because this guy, this idiot, shouldn't have said what he said. No, we want to come out and clarify. What he said, he didn't mean it. He didn't mean to be dovish. He was just simply quoting some research. It's not what he means. It's just what the other paper that he's quoting says. That's all it is. Here's an article from CNBC. New York Federal Reserve President John Williams was drawing from academic research when he said central bankers need to, quote, act quickly as economic growth slows. A representative for the central bank says, as economic growth slows. Is he talking to President Trump? Because I thought this was the best economy ever. The spokesperson says those comments were, quote, not about potential policy actions. No, of course not. We just have a Federal Open Market Committee taking place in a couple weeks, but this has nothing to do with that. Article continues. When New York Federal Reserve President John Williams said central bankers need to act quickly as economic growth slows, a spokesperson again said he was just drawing from research, not hinting at anything that's going to take place this month. This was an academic speech on 20 years of research. It was not about potential policy actions at the upcoming FOMC meeting. No. Earlier, Williams delivered a speech at the annual meeting of the Central Bank Research Association, what a party that must be, in which he said, quote, it's better to take preventive measures than to wait for a disaster to unfold. Really? That's fascinating. His comments come as Wall Street expects the U.S. Central Bank to cut its benchmark rate during the July 30th and 31st meeting. Now, this is what's interesting. This is what's so schizophrenic about the markets. After Williams' earlier remarks, market expectations for a 50 basis point rate cut leaped to about 59%. Prior to his speech, predictions for a half cut point cut had hovered between 20 to 30%. So they doubled, or more than doubled. Later, Fed Vice Chair Richard Clarida said on Fox Business News that cutting interest rates quickly is a good strategy. Market expectations for a half point cut surged even higher to about 69%. Unbelievable. But after the New York Fed spokesperson clarified Williams' comments, expectations for a 50 basis point cut fell to about 50%. Only a few hours ago at 7 p.m. This is, schizophrenic. Where do they find these people? They must walk down past the asylum. They look and they say, oh, that guy in a straitjacket over there, yeah, him. And he's on lithium. Perfect. We want him. He's the economist we want to work at the Federal Reserve. Let's get him. You know, this is another brainchild. You got to go back to Uncle Ben Bernanke, a couple chairmen of the Federal Reserve ago, who we talk about here all the time, who should be locked up for economic crimes against humanity. This is another brainchild of his, having all of these yahoos come out and, quote, be more transparent. Tell the markets what we're going to do, what we're thinking. They don't know what they're thinking. They don't even know what they're talking about. Because if you come out and you give a speech, a prepared speech, and then you make these comments, and then you have to have a spokesperson for the Federal Reserve come out after, of course, always after, well after the market closed, mind you, not during, after it's rallied, and you've got to close, a positive close for the day, then they can come out and say, oh, no, he didn't mean to say that. He was just quoting research. Yeah, well, he's supposed to be quoting research. He's supposed to be reading papers. That's what they're supposed to do. So what is it? And then you got, again, well, the economy might be slowing. You got to act to prevent a crisis, not act during the crisis. How many types of policy tools is the Federal Reserve going to have if this doesn't work? What happens if the economy still goes down while we continue to cut interest rates? We're already at a low bound here, people. We're at historically low interest rates. How much lower do you want to go? You want to go back to zero? You want to follow Europe into negative territory? Is that what you want to do? That's seemingly what the President of the United States wants to do. We'll never be a socialist nation. Never. Well, then why do you want to follow the socialist policies of the Europeans? Why do you want to follow what you claim to be is currency manipulation from the communist Chinese? Why do you want to follow commies and socialists if we're never going to be a socialist nation? You got to square that circle. Is this helping your base, Mr. President? Is this helping the American people, particularly the middle class? Not even close. You devalue the dollar, it's going to take more dollars to buy the same amount of goods. This is ridiculous. This is the financial world of Oz. This is the back and forth. This is why I have to talk out of both sides of my mouth, which I really don't like doing. But this is the world in which we live. That's why you can have a melt-up. And that's why you can have a meltdown, because these people are pulling the levers. And you have the world just sitting on pins and needles waiting for every word that they're saying. Even when they retract it, they don't care. Right now, you have the Japanese markets open. They were down 2% yesterday. They're getting most of that back right now as I speak. Why? Because of these comments. But they were clarified. He didn't really mean it. Doesn't matter. This is who's running the world. A bunch of idiots who don't know what they're talking about, who are unelected, pulling the levers, controlling the value of our money that we work for, and of course is taxed to death, so it can pay for a whole bunch of things that we don't stand for, but that's another story. Too much power, ladies and gentlemen, in the hands of the few. Exactly, I mean, only a couple weeks ago, it was July 4th, America's birthday, and I took the time to read a handful of paragraphs from the Declaration of Independence. Do I need to read it again? I will gladly do so. What is so hard to understand about freedom and limited power and self-governance? What is so difficult about this? This is why I harp on this, because this is real. This is real. Most everything else is a distraction. The president going after four lunatic women in Congress over nothing is absolutely nothing. It is a waste of time. It is a distraction. It gets his base all wound up. The mainstream media gets to call a whole bunch of people bigots and racists like they have been. The deplorables love it. And I'm not calling them deplorables. I'm just saying that's the narrative that's out there. They eat it up. Anything this president says, his base loves it. Hook, line, and sinker. Just like Obama's base. Anything he said and did could be no wrong. That's the problem. That's why we have $23 trillion in debt and counting. That's why we have these idiots running around controlling monetary policy, controlling the value of our currency, moving markets, because everybody's more focused on four lunatics in Congress that do nothing, mean nothing, as opposed to these people who actually have a lot of power and control some very serious economic levers. Now, it's also interesting to note, because we had this conversation too, some speculation on my part was, wouldn't it be interesting if the Federal Reserve actually did not cut interest rates? Sort of a smack across the face to President Trump and his administration, who have been calling for interest rate cuts for quite a while, much to my dismay, because this is more of the disease, not the cure. This is more of a bubble, making it going to be a bigger bubble. But seemingly the president doesn't care. Now, when he was a candidate, I appreciated the fact that he was going after the Federal Reserve for the right reason, saying they were causing a bubble in the economy, in the stock market. Now he's the president. He wants the bubble to continue, but he's not going to call it a bubble. He's going to say it's the best economy ever. Yet we have these other yahoos coming out and say, well, we got to be preventative here, and we got to take some action before a recession. Well, if this is the greatest economy ever, why are we even talking about recession? Shouldn't even be on the horizon. And then on the other side, right next door at the U.S. Treasury, you got Secretary of Treasury Mnuchin coming out. Congress, you got to get together and you got to vote to raise the debt ceiling because we're not going to have enough cash here to pay our bills. Get to it. So somebody's lying, folks. You can't have it all which way. You can't have it every which way. You just can't. All right? So be honest with yourself. Don't just say, oh, yeah, I like this guy because I voted for him. Mm-mm. That's the exact problem. You got to criticize him where he needs to be criticized and applaud him where he needs to be applauded. This is where he deserves to be criticized, no doubt about it. So getting back to that speculation as to whether or not the Federal Reserve will actually cut rates this month, we said, well, wouldn't it be interesting, of course, if they don't? Smack across the face to the president and his administration. Today, we had a banking analyst out on CNBC by the name of Chris Whalen. I am not a banking analyst. I am not a credit analyst. That is not my background. It is not my forte. I know the macroeconomy. We talk about those economic puzzle pieces here on a daily basis. We look at those turning points. We look at those signals as to whether or not things are strong, weak, weakening, turning over. I am not a perma-bear, not by any stretch of the imagination. When it comes to the markets, I do my best to be a realist. Do I have emotions? Sure, everybody else does. I do my best to park it at the door. But if you read our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing, we were very much bullish a half a decade ago when that book already came out in 2015. And as we were writing it through the latter year, part of 2013, 2014, and when it was published, and for a couple years after that. But now, in my opinion, with a lot of metrics that are coming out, with a lot of the data that I'm looking at, diminishing marginal returns are kicking in on this quote-unquote stimulus from central banks the world over. The consumer is, again, oversaturated. Corporations are oversaturated with debt. The government is oversaturated with debt. That's why when you look at a couple of things here that are continuing to make its way through the economy, as we continue to see more data with the housing market, it's slowing down despite the fact that interest rates have been going lower. Mortgage rates have been going lower. There's not an uptick in buying. Why? Because the consumer is overextended. This is what we're talking about. But anyway, we have this banking analyst out, Christopher Whalen. Some of you may be familiar if you watch CNBC. I've seen him on there a couple times. Again, I do not listen to everybody, but, you know, I have a pretty good eye, ear, and nose for BS, and I don't think this guy is a BS artist. So I take him more seriously than most. And he's actually saying that he's not anticipating the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates at the end of this month, which is interesting. Instead, he's saying, well, they're probably just going to end quantitative tightening, and then they'll make a speech. They'll again hint at something coming later, because you have to remember, folks, there is not a Federal Reserve meeting in August. There is not. So will the markets wait until September for the first rate cut of this year? I mean, everybody, of course, is entitled to their opinion and their analysis, but it's just interesting to see a well-regarded bank analyst out there give the projection that they're not going to cut them. They'll stop quantitative tightening and hint at future rate cuts, but nope, not this month. So we'll see what happens. I'm still in the camp that they're going to cut them because there is not a meeting in August, and you could have a complete market free-for-all. If they don't cut rates and the market has one priced in, even if it's only 25 basis points, this market will collapse. This market is so fragile, it's ridiculous. And it's so fragile because it's built on sand. It's built on funny money. It's built on fakery for the past decade. Low interest rates and all of that debt is coming home to roost. This was an experiment. This was an experiment, and we're all the guinea pigs. Because Ben Bernanke thinks he was super genius. Janet Yellen thought she was a super genius. Even though they admit, and we talked about this in that blog that we read about a couple days ago, well, we don't know what's going to happen. We've never done this quantitative easing before, and we've never done quantitative tightening, so we just don't know what's going to happen. Well, somebody might lose their job, lose their house, lose their car, lose half of their 401k, IRA. No big deal. We were just experimenting. No responsibility. Nobody's held accountable. And they'll just say, well, we were well-intentioned, and they'll get away with it. These people will get away with it. all we're doing is kicking the can down the road, folks. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. I do believe there is a silent period, though, thankfully, meaning that officials from the Federal Reserve, they have to shut their mouths for like the last week before the Federal Reserve Federal Open Market Committee meeting. So at least we won't have to hear from them for maybe a week. I think there's a dark period, if I understand that correctly. But in some other news, some political news, what's been going on this week, we've had escalation, de-escalation. Of course, we're talking about the U.S. versus Iran. So Iran allegedly seized a small ship. The U.S. is continuing to send other Navy vessels into the Persian Gulf, the Strait of Hormuz. And now it's been tit for tat. Today, the president announced that the United States shot down an Iranian drone. They got too close to one of our Navy vessels. From the reports that I read, the drone allegedly was about 1,000 yards away from our vessel. And in the name of protection and defense, we shot it down. So we're tit for tat. The Iranians shot down one of our drones. We shot down one of the Iranians. Fantastic. Just the other day, we had Secretary of State Mike Pompeo coming out and saying, well, looks like maximum pressure, and that, of course, meaning all of the sanctions, the economic sanctions that we're placing on Iran. And, of course, I'm sure there's a lot of, back channeling and all this and that with other discussions. But nevertheless, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo comes out and says, well, it looks like it's working, and the Iranians are going to come to the negotiating table. Now we shot down one of their drones. Will they continue to come to the table? Maybe they will. I hope they do. I really hope they do. I want the president to be successful with North Korea. I want the president to be successful with Iran. I don't want more war. I don't want more nuclear weapons on this planet. I want all of this money that we spend on defense and on our military and on recruiting some of the smartest people in the world to create weapons. I want that money to go to creating peace and prosperity, to creating cures for diseases that should be eradicated, for not having anybody go to bed hungry. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is the 21st century. We recruit, not just here in the United States, everywhere. All governments do this. They recruit some of the smartest people in the world to create weapons of mass destruction. I mean, think about that for a second. That's what we do in the 21st century. We recruit the best minds to create weapons of mass destruction so we can theoretically kill each other. $700 billion the United States is going to spend once again. It's actually more than that. I think it's $730 billion, maybe $733 billion this year if President Trump gets his way with a defense budget once again. So that's $2.1 trillion, over $2 trillion over the 3 years that he's been in office. Where's it going? Is it all accounted for? Because the president, even when he was a candidate, was saying that the U.S. military is depleted. Well, if you go back and you look at the expenditures under the Obama administration, you're talking about trillions of dollars there too. So is the president telling the truth? Was it depleted? And if it was, where did all of those trillions of dollars go? Is Obama being investigated? Are the secretaries of defense under his administration being investigated? Where'd all that money go? If the military and the Defense Department was truly depleted. And if it wasn't, where's Trump putting all this money? Where's it going to? This is a lot of cash, ladies and gentlemen. And we don't have it. We have to raise the debt ceiling. We don't have it. We're borrowing all this money from the rest of the world. You know, the president, Donald Trump, he likes to come out and say, you know, the United States is the piggy bank of the world. Wrong, Mr. President. We used to be the piggy bank for the rest of the world following World War II when we had a manufacturing base in this country, when we had a true economy, or at least more true, I should say, more fundamentally honest. Now we borrow from everybody. We borrow from everybody. That means the rest of the world is our bank. And we just export a lot of our inflation through money printing, and it goes to other countries. And it's here too. It's most definitely here too. That's why you hear a whole bunch of cries for $15 minimum wage. It's not because everything's fantastic. It's not because everything's affordable. It's because everything is not affordable. Now, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. We'll save that for another day. But this is all connected. It's what I try to explain here. It's what we do in our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing. We talk about a whole bunch of data points, a whole bunch of topics, and then we tie it all together, connect the dots. Oh, I see. Now that's not this. This is connected to that. It's quite amazing. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know all of the interconnectedness of everything because it's quite complex, but it's very fascinating. It's very interesting, and it's worth your time and effort to better understand it, especially if you're an investor, especially if you want to be an informed citizen. Because it's very rare to have any type of issue, whether it's political, economic, anything else, in isolation. Somewhere down the road, it's going to be interconnected with something. There's going to be a ripple effect somewhere down the line. So again, let's pray for peace and prosperity, that the President of the United States can reach an agreement with Iran, that Iran will come to the negotiating table, and we can de-escalate this. We don't want it. We do not want nor need another war. We can't afford it. We don't need the bloodshed. Enough's enough. But we'll see what happens. On the economic front, the Federal Reserve needs to be abolished. I talk about this every day. I mean, these people give me enough ammunition. It's unbelievable. Are you awake? Pay attention. Because I know football season's coming out, you know, in a couple months already. And my God, I'm probably going to lose everybody. But just stay focused the best you can. Don't pay attention to the four lunatics in Congress and Donald Trump tweeting all this nonsense. Pay attention to the grand prize. Pay attention to the true root causes of the problems that we face. You want to start solving them? End the Fed, abolish the federal income tax. I'll say it every single day and do so gladly. Thank you so much for joining me today, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure having you as always. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out. Leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. This is the Capital News. I am Alex Kuraitis. Godspeed.